This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Look at that, Dusty. I knew what day of the week it was.
Hey, oh, Friday. Friday got it for you.
Friday got it for
there
you.
There we There's go. No other, it's no, about time.
There you go. It only took me 2.5 years to figure it out. Speaking of figuring it out, figuring out a month later how the hell this Luka Doncic trade actually happened, there is an article from Sam Amick of The Athletic where he highlights that the Dallas Mavericks and Nico Harrison also shopped Luka Doncic to the
Timberwolves
for Ant Edwards, which is, first of all, this is counter to everything that's been reported by the direct sourcing to the Mavericks and the Lakers. It was a there was one other team, and everybody that I had talked to said that the one other team they talked to was the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Which, as a reminder, Nico Harrison was a longtime Nike executive. Mm-hmm. Who does Giannis have issue with?
Nike.
Okay, the player they ultimately traded for, Anthony Davis. Who is he repped by in the shoe industry?
Nike.
Okay, Ant Edwards. Who is he repped by?
Adidas.
Huh. So that's your first context clue of things I don't believe for $1,000, Alex. Beyond this, the reporting was directly that he had conversations only with Rob Pelinka. Even after he downplayed that they didn't put it out there, they want anybody else, because they targeted Anthony Davis because he's a player he was familiar with his time at Nike, and they wanted a defensive identity.
Hmm.
Ant Edwards, is he a defensive stopper? Is he a defensive identity? No. Is he a guy who can play good defense as a premier scorer? Yeah, sure. But that's not what he is. That you're not talking about having this big bully team like Giannis. Big bully guy, defensive player of the year caliber kind of guy, Anthony Davis in that same vein. Ant Edwards does not fit that. Now, from a talent perspective, that 100% fits. And if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves and that deal is on the table, I am taking it. I want out of the Ant Edwards business immediately, today, I have the opportunity to get a star, not only that is better, but has shown to be a guy that can backpack a team to the NBA Finals.
But this is, like, I don't understand why this would just come out of nowhere and he'd just throw this in here if somebody hadn't told him that, right? And he's saying that league sources are... Because the article that this is kind of thrown into by Sam Amick of The Athletic is, it's about the struggles that Luka is having to adapt and play alongside LeBron and be in LA, right? Mm-hmm. Because last night he was not good. And I think he was 1 of 9 from 3 last night. It's looked clunky.
The one that he hit though, sweet Jesus. Did you see it?
Yeah, again, my son's a Laker fan, so
he threw that thing in from the ocean.
Yeah.
At the end of the clock in a shot had no business. It was very reminiscent of Nikola Jokic in the playoff against the Lakers. Remember the heave he threw behind his head?
Yeah.
And just ripped the net? that's basically what Luka did from about 30 feet away in the corner or in the wing.
But he hit, his struggles have been noted, and they've been mighty with the Lakers. And honestly, without LeBron playing the way that he's been playing, they are not winning any of these games, including last night against Minnesota. He was unbelievable last
night. Do you know what
night.
He is averaging over the past 6 weeks?
No.
28-8-8 on 50-40-80.
The man is 40 years old and damn near averaging a triple-double every game.
On crazy efficiency.
And that is, what, 6 weeks? That almost puts us, because in December he turned 40.
Yeah.
So almost the entirety of year 40 has been that effective.
He's going to end
he's
up
been nuts, man.
He's going to end up on the first team All-NBA.
Well, yeah, he's outstanding. Even if it wasn't because of name recognition, he would do it because of his play right now.
That's what I mean. His play is putting him up there, which is an insane thing. But back to the Minnesota Timberwolves things and like why I think this would come out. Have the Dallas Mavericks done themselves a single favor with PR through this entire thing?
No.
Now, if the narrative that you put out there is that you discussed only Anthony Davis, wouldn't it behoove you to have something out there? Well, actually, in fact, we did test the market, and we did go after a young star in Ant Edwards, and we did maybe go after Giannis Antetokounmpo. The thing is, though, another red flag for me of, like, why I don't buy that they went after Ant Edwards. What are the reasons that they believe that Luka Doncic couldn't be a title-winning contender?
I think, because of the drinking and the hookah and the not taking care of his body.
Okay. Are those on-court related issues?
No.
Has Luka Doncic been, if not the most productive, the second most productive player in the NBA since he has been in the league?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
It's Jokic and then
Jokic
him.
And, yeah.
Okay. Ant Edwards has been a ticking time bomb of stupidity since he came in the NBA off the floor.
Yep.
And if you're worried about a player making mistakes and not taking the role as the face of a franchise seriously, why on earth would you go get Ant Edwards?
Yeah, Ant Edwards has been stepping in it with baby mama left and right.
And let's not forget the homophobic comments. And I mean, the guy, to be blunt, is a dirtbag off the court. I mean, just an absolute
not known
dirtbag.
As a great dude.
And if you're talking about the intrinsic things of being face of a franchise, if those are the things that you're worried about Luka Doncic, who took you to the finals. Mm-hmm.
Dragged you to the finals.
Basically averaging a 30-point triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would you do that with a guy who is lesser talented with more issues off the floor?
I will counter that with they ended up trading for 31-year-old injury-prone Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. So whatever reasoning that you're trying to put on this,
oh, listen,
it's not there.
No.
Look at what they took. They would have taken the Anthony Davis.
But I'm saying
Anthony Edwards.
There's no consistency in what they're saying. And that's how I look at this as complete and utter BS. Complete and utter BS.
Well, yeah, I think the trade itself was as well.
Oh, he
so
was.
I'm going to believe it was. Based on the fact that they haven't operated like an organization that is going to be doing the right thing. So, I mean, it's just as plausible because of the fact of the deal that they made. Everybody went, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And if this is the reasoning, and they did reach out to the Timberwolves, and they say that they reached out and said, hey, you willing to deal Ant Edwards? And they were like, no. And they said, oh, what would it take? Like Doncic? And they were like, yeah. And they're like, oh, well, would you be interested in trading for him? And they still said, wait, you'd what? Why the Timberwolves wouldn't jump on it is the bigger question. Because I do believe that Dallas probably did because they're not operating like a franchise that is inept. Or they are operating like a franchise that is inept right now. Like they are not a well-run organization right now. And so I'll believe that they went with the dysfunctional move to counter the dysfunction that they believe
if they actually offered that and the Timberwolves didn't take it, they're more dysfunctional. And that's,
right?
But again, Tim Connelly is not a dysfunctional GM.
Right.
And that is where I don't buy this at all. Going a step further and kind of going on to the Ant Edwards part of this, LeBron James, as he is wont to do, held his talks at his locker room and waxed poetically. And he was asked about Ant Edwards. and when Ant Edwards at All-Star Weekend said he didn't want to be the face of the NBA. LeBron was asked about that, and he echoed this. Channing Frye said it. Why do you want to be the face of the league when all the people that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis bleep on everybody? There's some truth to that.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Because I don't like the way that the game is covered. But beyond that, Ant Edwards, I've seen some people make the comparison like he's Charles Barkley today. No, he's not Charles Barkley. He's an idiot. That's the thing, because the NBA has tried to make Ja Morant the face of the league, Zion Williamson a face of the league, Ant Edwards a face of the league. What do they all have in common? They're all American-born basketball players. Mm-hmm. The best players on the planet right now are European or non-U.S., with Shea being Canadian. They are trying to get an American-born star. They haven't yet pivoted to Wemby. They're pushing him up there, but they haven't made him the face of the league, which to me is insane. Like, you're talking about a guy who could arguably be the best player to ever play the game, and it's still nowhere near the LeBron-level frenzy. And I was like, well, he's playing in a small market. LeBron James played in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think personality has a big... If you're going to be the face of the league, you have to have the personality to do it and willingness to take it on, and you have to have a big personality. Mm-hmm. Wemby has a good personality, yeah. But it has not been like... Think of the guys who have been the face of the league. They've been willing to put themselves out there to be that guy, and Wemby hasn't shown that yet. He likes, and he says it often, like... He likes to go home and he goes to bed by 9 o'clock. He reads books before mm-hmm. games. Like, he's kind of an introvert in that regard. So I think that may be a big force of why you're not making the face of the league, outside of you want him to be American too, which is going to be a big factor in it.
Which is why Cooper Flagg's going to have all the pomp and circumstance around him.
Yeah, he's okay with a camera in front of him, and he wants that attention too.
The thing about this with the Ant Edwards of it all, and tying him back to the Ja and Zion stuff, like, the NBA is searching for this hard, and they keep tying their wagon to the wrong dude over and over and over again because of off-court stuff.
Well, that's why they need to let it come to them mm-hmm. like it has before. Like, with Jordan, that wasn't the NBA. That was Nike yes. making Jordan the face of the league. Nike put a marketing machine behind him, mm-hmm. and they said, they did the same thing with Kobe. They did the same thing with LeBron,
too. They tried to do it with KD, but KD, to your point, is not a guy that wanted that mantle.
No, thanks. And I think with Ant Edwards, they're going, no.
Yeah. Well, they tried to, but they're kind of pushing back against it.
Ja Morant, too. They gave him the signature shoe, and then he started pulling guns out everywhere. And they said, all right, we're going to have to pull back on this new face of the league, too. Because Ja had everything that everybody's looking for. He was flashy. His dad was flashy.
Mm-hmm. He was fun, entertaining,
yep.
explosive, highlight culture. Yep. All had a mentality with not necessarily the grit and grind Grizzlies, but definitely there. He had a little bit of edge to him, which you do want that. You want some edge.
Hell yeah, you do.
Like, that's... I mean, Steph Curry has zero edge to him, but if not for LeBron, I mean, Steph's the guy.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, like, face of the league, that's why that transition out of LeBron, Steph, KD has proven to be so difficult, and why the NBA is still attaching themselves so strongly to those three guys.
People do love that edge to players, and it doesn't have to be, like, getting into trouble edge.
No.
It is, you know, Jordan and
playing with a nastiness,
manufacturing things that Slights. People have said to yep. you, or getting cut from your high school team, which he didn't actually get cut from his high school team, right? Tom Brady with knowing every single quarterback that was drafted in front of him and keeping that list in his locker mm-hmm. throughout the entirety of his 21-year NFL career. Like, that, people love that. They love an edge to a guy.
They like a strong pettiness.
What they don't like is a guy in a strip club with a gun making it rain around strippers.
Pac-Man Jones.
Ja Morant. Ja Morant. Yeah. He did that.
Shotgun Willies.
Like, this is... they're not looking for that kind of edge.
No.
But the NBA is... They are looking... They're desperate because they know LeBron... is fading fast.
Yep.
Steph Curry, it may go before LeBron at this rate. We don't know how much longer you have with either one of those guys. They need to find a face, and they need to find it soon. And it ain't going to be Anthony Edwards, that's for sure.
Coming up next, Matthew Stafford is returning to the Rams. What effect does that have on the rest of the NFL for the cornerback needy teams? We'll get to that and more here on Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, the Fan.
Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams have decided on a restructure and a reunion. He will stay in Los Angeles for the next at least 2 years. What does that mean for the rest of the quarterback needy teams that were in pursuit, including the New York Giants and Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, it means that they're back to the drawing board, and already you're seeing the reports that the Raiders are kicking the tires on Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson, and Justin Fields. Now, the Steelers are saying they want to bring back one of the two guys that they had there last year, whether it's Wilson or Fields. The fact that they aren't committal on which one they want, I think, is pretty telling. But that's going to be the lot in life that both the New York Giants and the Las Vegas Raiders have. We know that they are quarterback needy.
Yes.
And they have to make a move there. Do the Giants want to waste their pick on the second quarterback, right? Because they have so, and I say waste because there's so many other needs that mm-hmm. they have right now. Like, they need a bridge quarterback to wherever they're going, because the rebuild is going to take not just one season to get things right in New York. Their defense is okay. They need help on the offensive line. They need help at run. They need a running back. They need another wide receiver to complement Malik Nabers. That's further down the line. But quarterback, where they're at, what are they at, fifth or sixth? Sixth?
Raiders? Yeah, sixth.
No, Raiders are sixth. Giants are fifth. Is that right?
I think they're further up, aren't they?
They're sitting third, aren't they? Behind Cleveland. Cleveland?
Yes.
Is that where they're at? You can get the best, third. You can get the best player at multiple positions. Edge might be gone, right? If it's Abdul Carter that goes number one. Cleveland, by all accounts, they're going quarterback because of what Deshaun Watson, his contract holds, and they're going to be anchored down for at least another year, and they're trying to hang on to Myles Garrett. So at third, are you going to go Shedeur Sanders at number three?
Unless the Giants decide to trade up with the Titans.
And jump them. And does that fix your problems?
Is that what you want?
You have other issues. Your offensive line, your running game.
Well, they should be doing is asking
You're not going to go running back at
Joe Shane's kid what they should do.
Yeah. But they were putting all their eggs into the Matthew Stafford basket. They said they were ready, and there's a report out there from the New York Post that says the 2-year, $100 million offer that they were floating out there as being ready and prepared to give to Matthew Stafford. Look, that tells you enough about what they thought of draft class this year, because they were ready to go and say, all right, Stafford going to be our guy. We can go and get, a tackle in the first round, and we can start moving the ball down the field. Well, now you really do have to take a long look at Shedeur Sanders at three, or one of these bridge quarterbacks. You're not going to bring Sam Darnold to New York because of how the first trip went to New York for him. He probably isn't going to come down that road. So where do you land? We went through the free agent quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, who they exiled, was like fourth on the list of the free agent quarterbacks. It's not a great class. It's a really bad class.
It's never really a good class of free agent quarterbacks, but this is very stinky.
I don't know where any of these other teams go, because, look, the Raiders may be in a real pinch if the Giants do go Shedeur Sanders at three.
Mm-hmm.
Because then are you going to go and get Russ or Justin Fields or Sam Darnold? People should not get blinded by what Sam Darnold did last year, because if you take a year without Justin Jefferson, okay, Aaron Jones, Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson, he had weapons. And then he had Kevin O'Connell as his play caller too, who is a great play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that that's going to just get replicated when we have a large body of work and multiple stops. That wasn't good.
No. I don't like any of those options. If I'm the Raiders, I would rather them miss out on all those guys and go, and I'm using hyperbole here, but go the Peterman route. If they hear me out. I would rather that be the worst hellscape possible than tying yourself to any of those three quarterbacks with the risk of going into the draft and the quarterback you want not being there. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you go in there without a quarterback and everybody knows that you need a quarterback, and so they're going to leverage the living hell out of you, they're going to try to draft slot above you, move around you to make it hell for you for the other teams that are trying to vie for a quarterback, whether that's Jackson Dart or Quinn Ewers, I would rather the Raiders, instead of stretching, continue what they did last year in the draft. Draft slot on best player available, particularly in the first round. If that's Will Campbell at tackle, fine. If that's Will Johnson at cornerback, fine. If it's the best edge rusher, fine. I don't care. Take the best player available at pick number 6 and hope and pray that at the beginning of the second round that Jackson Dart is there. I would. That is, to me, with where they are at right now, that is the most optimal outcome.
I think that is where the New York Giants are probably thinking too, mm-hmm. right? You go offensive line. You have the second pick. You have the 34th pick. If you're the Giants, if you can get Dart because Cleveland has the first pick of the second round, correct? Then you go down that road and you say, all right, this is how we're going to do it. We are going to roll right through and try to make this as palatable as we possibly can. It's not a enviable spot to be in for every single team in the NFL draft that does not have that quarterback. And that includes... Look, you mentioned them earlier. The New Orleans Saints are in that boat right now. Minnesota and what they do at quarterback, whether they're going to run it with J.J. McCarthy or do you bring Darnold back? And that, there's a very real possibility that that happens too. So you could see a situation where they bring Darnold back for another year and there's another quarterback that's off the table. And then you're staring down the barrel of Russ or Fields or, you know, as you mentioned, holding down that hope that a guy falls to you in the second round. I think what the thing that happened with the Matthew Stafford agreement today is that domino fell and now the Rams are in action. Offensive tackle Alaric Jackson, mm-hmm. 3 years, $57 million. Now you're starting to see they know what they're paying their quarterback.
Yep, their cap structures.
They know exactly where they need to go. Now every other piece is going to start moving forward with them because their defense is really cheap because they're young mm-hmm. and they're really, really good. Damn good on that side of the ball. The Rams figuring out the Stafford issue is a domino that's going to fall across the league. But more importantly, they figured out what they have to work with and what they can offer to all the other guys with that extra $24 million that the salary cap gave them.
Super useful. Well, speaking of salary cap and structures and figuring things out, the team in the Northwest and the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks are linked to making a pretty seismic move with their star wide receiver. We'll get to that in more coming up here. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Zone update.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Some news notes from another NFC West team here up in Seattle. They are still trying to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback situation, Geno Smith, and getting a deal done there. But beyond that, there's been a little bit of smoke, the last 2 months, about the future of DK Metcalf in Seattle.
Yeah, well, you had John Schneider today saying there's no doubt in his mind Geno Smith will be the guy moving forward in Seattle. What that number looks like, that is for Seahawks fans to argue about and see how much money that would take. The DK Metcalf thing is interesting because Michael Sean Dugar of The Athletic, he is saying, look, this is all over the place. You have NFL reporters and local guys. I haven't seen it on the national, mm-hmm. from any of the national reporters, except for the fake account, Duff Kleiman,
yeah.
of saying that this is real because there is, like, there's rumors out there that it's DK Metcalf, the 23rd overall pick, which is Packers' first-round pick, and Romeo Doubs, mm-hmm. right? But now you have people saying there has been no contact between the Seahawks and Packers. And that comes from a Packers beat reporter, Matt Schneidman, who is saying, according to a source, there's been no contact or negotiations as of now between the Packers and Seahawks regarding DK Metcalf.
And for those who are wondering, Corbin Smith, who covers the Seahawks for, the Emerald, one of the Emerald Spectrum and hosts Locked On Seahawks is the one that I believe first had the DK possibilities.
I'll tell you what, that'd be a hell of a haul if you get a first round pick and you get Romeo Doubs and you're sending DK out, and that
he's a dude.
JSN then becomes your guy that you are hitching your wagon to up in Seattle.
If you can get a one for DK and a replacement level wide receiver, we've talked about the value of wide receiver in the NFL, and not that it's easy to replace that guy, but we just saw a mock draft the other day that had. That's my point. It's like what was it? Tetero McMillan was going 22, one pick earlier to the Los Angeles Chargers. You can get, like, this isn't the wide receiver draft that it has been the last couple of years, but there are guys in this draft. Another guy, Marcus Golden, I've seen been flying up draft boards recently, the Texas wide receiver. Isaiah Bond is another guy that you hear about as far as being like a five-star all-world athlete, very much in the same mold of like a DK Metcalf. So there are ways that you could do this in salary structure-wise of allow yourself a lot more wiggle room and team building structure-wise. Sure. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big DK guy.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for 6'5" wide receivers. Yeah. You give me big boy, like Mike Evans is one of my favorite wide receivers of the modern era. If you have the opportunity to go get a massive wide receiver with great top end speed and the ability to basically high point anything, I prefer those guys over basically any receiver in the NFL.
And it appears the DK Seahawks relationship has run its course, right?
And this isn't the first time we've heard this. We've been hearing this for months about
all last season.
Yeah.
All last season. And if that is the case, you want to cut bait before it gets ugly. Because we know receivers, when they get it in their head, they can drag you down much as they can lift you up and make game-changing plays. So I don't know where the Seahawks go in this. If that framework of a trade is actually the haul that you could get for a DK Metcalf, hell yeah, do it. I think that would be something that, it works for both sides. You are hitching your wagon to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. It is a massive change, but you are then gaining assets. And what do you need? You need offensive line help. And if you can bolster your interior offensive line with a 23rd overall pick, that helps you out. That helps you out big time with everything that Seattle needs to do. So I'm here for it. I would like it. I just want to see what that number is that you're going to be giving Geno Smith in a contract extension. If he is your guy and he will be the guy for you, what does that number look like? We were talking about this yesterday with the Brock Purdy deal, right? If you are in that sub $40 million range and you can lock Geno up, that's the freight that you got to pay. Go do it. That would put him like in the late teens of highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
That's totally fine.
Totally respectable.
Totally
right
fine.
There. We were talking about $40 million would put you at 15th in the NFL yesterday when we were talking about the Brock Purdy deal.
When we're talking about salary slotting and stuff like that, like I think that's appropriate for Geno.
For 2025, and if you want to go on cap hit for you there, does that sound fair?
Sure.
That's kind of flawed because the cap hit is always different than the actual money that you're getting there. But your salary cap hit for Matthew Stafford is heading into the year. We don't know if this is going to change. $49 million, and he is fifth in the NFL. Okay. Kirk Cousins is 11th at $40 million for his cap hit. And then if you get under that, you're looking at from 12, which is Tua, down to 18, that's not even just quarterbacks. That's all players in the league. But once you get down there, you get into the position players. 16 would be Baker Mayfield at 35. And everybody ahead of him, they're all quarterbacks.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's
16th in the league.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
That's your range.
I'm okay with that.
That's your range that you're at, and you can live with that. And look, the cap number will probably be lower because he'll get a big signing bonus this year. But if you're looking at total cash, you want him right in the meaty part of where quarterbacks are. Half, And if you can get him in the bottom half, that would be great. Because it feels like he likes Seattle. He's been productive in Seattle, mm-hmm. but he's not the guy that's carrying your team. You're going to have to get a roster built around him that will carry that team.
I think with that at that kind of salary level, you can.
Yep.
And that's kind of the way you end up slotting all this.
Mm-hmm.
The Portland Trailblazers are taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
There's
a strong likelihood.
This evening? This late afternoon?
Late afternoon. I do yeah. love me a good early tip.
This late afternoon. I stepped on that.
No, what's that?
Mm. I want to look at you when I talk to you.
I love a good early tip. I got you. There's a strong likelihood that Denny Avdija is not going to play tonight. He is questionable coming into the night, as well as Jeremy Grant. Does this pave the path for Shaedon Sharpe to follow up his best performance of his young career with another productive performance? We'll get to that as we wrap up today's show here on Danny and Dusty, Denny the Fan.
Let's break bread.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Portland Trailblazers is going to take on the Brooklyn Nets here in just a little bit. And there's a strong likelihood that you will see neither Denny Avdija or Jeremy Grant.
No.
Both questionable injury report. I think pretty strong likelihood that Denny's not going to play is what it sounded like this morning. Nothing serious, but he did take a knee to the thigh that he just couldn't really work out. That does open the door for some rearrangement, as it were, of the lineup.
We are getting into the knee soreness portion of the thing, though, which is what Jeremy is like.
I think you're probably leaning toward that a little bit with Jeremy. But I wonder if they don't have two starters, does Shaedon get the nod in the starting lineup? Or does he become kind of the super sub sixth man and he either comes on for one of Scoot or Ant at basically any given point and still play 30 plus minutes? Where do you think Billups goes tonight? Does Shaedon get the start if they both can't go? I'll put it this way. If only Denny doesn't go, if there's one starter out, does Shaedon slide back into the starting lineup?
Well, okay. So if Jeremy Grant, or you're saying if only Denny is out.
Yes.
Okay. If only Denny is out, that means that you would slide Scoot into the starting lineup, Ant to the two to the three, and then...
Or two to the four.
Or two to the four.
Only if Denny's out.
Yeah. Two to the three, and then you're sliding Jeremy to the four, right?
Well, he's four, but yeah.
That would probably be the route that you go.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Grant that is out...
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to. That's a, I think a bigger slide that you have to account for.
If they're both out, yeah.
If you're both out, but no. If it's just Grant, mm-hmm. then I think you do think about putting Shaedon in the lineup just for matchup wise.
Denny go to the four, two at the three, and then Ant and Shea.
Yep.
It's interesting.
But if both of them are out and you don't start Shaedon Sharpe, Chauncey Billups hates Shaedon Sharpe. I think that would be if both of those guys are out and he's still not in the starting lineup.
Unless he wants to go a little bit bigger and go with Chris there. That's the only thing that I can see.
I don't think you'd get. And if you're trying to get that, send a message to Shaedon Sharpe,
but
maybe.
Is this, you know, do you, if they're both out, with the performance Shaedon just had, do you
yes.
give him the carrot?
Well, yeah, because, and that's the thing is that I don't. If both Denny Avdija and Jeremy Grant are out,
mm-hmm.
yes, you have to.
Yeah.
Because you don't have, again, it's Chris Murray or Delano Banton,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, those are your options there. So, yeah, I think you put Shea in.
I do, too.
And the reasoning would be, well, we needed some kind of scoring coming off the bench.
Yeah, you need another ball handler, another creator.
And that's where I say this would be a DB Hooper bench game if...
Look, Cam Thomas looks like he might play for the Nets tonight. And you want to talk about just getting him up? This would be a just getting him up Olympics between DB and Cam Thomas.
Whatever. Both these teams are not very good. So, yeah, let me see. Let me see what it's about.
Let's get weird.
But this does feel like with Denny and Jeremy both being on the report this is the exact same thing that Utah did to Portland the other night, right? They were sitting there going, all right. I guess we're not going to play Kessler, and I guess we're not going to play Laurie.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be all right here. And we're not trying to win. We're going to see what they can do. And I think this may be the rolling out of, hey, we're going to try to win with the guys that we have.
Mm.
And we're not going to have everybody. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay with me. Don't care.
As long as if both those guys are out, both Scoot and Shaedon are getting
get their run.
This is where you get your opportunity.
Yep. Yeah. Let me see it. Let me see it. And then we can cycle through the next
and
four.
If either one of them give you the lack of focus or effort, then go DB Hooper. Go Chris Murray and use the stick again.
That to me is the bigger one here is that if something didn't click with Shaedon Sharpe about just effort, whether that's physically or between the ears, and production in the way that the game felt when he was on the floor, if that didn't click,
if it didn't register,
that is a bigger red flag than anything else.
Yes.
And that to me would be like, you would start to see that sign of he's not that guy and he won't be that guy here, because we saw that with Scoot, right? Scoot had that wake up call and he has looked like a different player. And a lot of what Scoot was going through is learning how to play in the NBA for the first, 70 games that he was in the league. What we've been seeing over, his last 30 and really the last, 20, you would say, is it has been the switch got flipped for him, and he is now the aggressor, and that effort is there every time he steps on the floor. And we've seen that from him, and it did click with him. And that's a reassuring sign.
100%.
Still not, the superstar that everybody thought that they were getting with the number three pick. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because not every guy is going to be the superstar, but you don't want him to be a burnout or a flop, right? Yeah. And he's not playing like that right now. This team still needs a star player, but if Shaedon can have that switch flip for him where the effort is there, being locked in, not just when he has the ball in his hands, but on the other end of the floor as well, with effort between the ears and physically, then you know that you got a guy that at least you can keep bringing along. But if that keeps disappearing for long stretches, no.
Yeah, this is the carrot and the stick conversation. There's an opportunity to give Shaedon the carrot for his performance. Now, I'm not a big proponent of, hey, you had one game, here's the reward. I'm not hugely in fan of that, but I am a fan of reinforcing the aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And if you have the opportunity, if both those guys could go, he should absolutely get it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, there's the tank is getting very crowded, and the Blazers are way behind the eight ball, because we talked about this earlier. Philly has officially shut down Joel Embiid for the rest of the year. The Blazers are already, I cannot believe this. They are six games better than
the Sixers.
Sixers in the win column, like that. Is mind-boggling to me.
And why a loss to Brooklyn would matter right now is that you're giving Brooklyn a win.
Yeah, and it also, with Phoenix, we talked about them earlier and how broken they are, where you have your coach and one of your stars
but that pick's,
are fighting.
Like, they don't want to lose because that pick's going to the Rockets.
They right now are the Blazers are only one game behind Phoenix. And they could very easily rein them in very quickly. So, I mean, my expectations, Blazers are still probably going to win this game.
The Nets are plucky. They also just lost to the Wizards.
They've lost two in a row.
No.
They've lost two in a row. So, who knows what happens with this basketball team.
It's nastiness.
This is a game that I think that if you were to look at like individual ratings of a Blazer game, it is going to be bottom of the barrel. Sun is out. It's like 65 degrees.
It's Friday.
It's a 4:30 tip. It is a Friday. Like, it's the Nets and the Blazers. This one reeks to me of, you could probably say whatever you wanted on Rip City Wrap Up, and it's not going to get any complaints, you know?
Oh, they'll still find a way.
On a day like today.
They'll still find a way. We'll have our what was Brooke wearing segment as well.
Yeah.
We'll work that in.
Actually, Rip City Wrap Up might be get a bigger number than the actual game itself, because people will just be like, what happened in it?
Yeah, I missed the game. Go ahead and fill me in.
I was out when the sun was up. And by the way, sun has been out a lot. Six a.m., you're starting to see sunshine. Sun's staying out a little bit later. I love it. All right, that does it for us this week. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from his mouth to your ears. It's primetime with Asacha and Buck. Right here on The Fan. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I want to look at you when I talk to you.
Bye.